Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. You know, my prayer, Father, is that you'll move me out of the way, that you will have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. For Lord, there's no greater blessing in all the world than to be right with you. Let your word change us. Let us never be the same. In your son's most holy, present, glorious name, we all say.
Praise God.
If you heard an amen, you know they're visiting. Make them feel at home now. It is important for us to make corrections when we are wrong on something. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
As we finished up chapter 5, we're going to skip the first part of chapter 6, of course, because we've already talked about the fourth miracle. And we're going to go to the fifth miracle in the book of John. The first three miracles in the book of John, chapter 2, changing the water into wine, chapter 4, the healing of the nobleman's son, and chapter 5 was the impotent man that was sick for 38 years. All three of those miracles is to give a picture of how to become a Christian. Who are the only ones in the book of John that saw all seven miracles? The disciples. So it is a lesson to the disciples, and it is a lesson to you and I on how people should come to know Christ. The fourth miracle was the feeding of the 5,000. That miracle is about human instrumentation that God used to bring people to him. Andrew went out, found a little boy with the lunch. And that lunch was able to be used to feed over 5,000. It was 5,000 men. So the numbers, we don't know, with counting women and children. That's a lot of food from one lunch. A lot of us wish we could multiply food like that in the country that we're in. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. So the last three miracles that we're going to deal with in the book of John is about how to walk with Christ after you become a Christian. Okay, the first three is how to become a Christian. Fourth is how to use yourselves, God, how God uses you to lead others to him. And the fifth, sixth, and seventh is how to walk with Christ after you become a Christian. So it's probably pretty important for you and I to understand these. Amen. As we closed out chapter 5 again, like I said, I made a mistake. I should have listened to myself in the first place. When we was dealing with light, that in Genesis 1:3, God created light and said, let there be light. And there was light, and light traveled 186,000 miles per second throughout the rest of its life. Light has been obedient since Genesis 1:3. Never slowed down. And if you missed that sermon, make sure you get it. But by the time I did it with a pencil, remember, at first. And then I did it on a calculator. And what I did on pencil, the calculator said was wrong. Well, just to get you straight, I was not wrong. The pencil part that I did with my brain was right. I went back and had it rechecked because I go, how could I be so far off? And sure enough, light does not travel 6 trillion miles in 1 year. And it does not travel 28 trillion miles in 4.5 years. Light travels 5,865,696,000,000 miles in 1 year times 4.5. Takes light to get from our sun to Alpha Centauri. It travels 26,395,632,000,000 miles in 4.5 years. Now, light has never said, I'm tired. Light has never said, I'm burnt out. Light has never said, well, I've been doing this so long, then I don't have to do it anymore. No one appreciate me anyway until they run into something in the dark. Light's job was to be obedient. Your job and my job is to be obedient. Okay? So 5,865,696,000,000 miles light travels in 1 year. It is true. Those are the right numbers. If you don't believe me, check it out and let your pastor impress you. We come to the sixth miracle. Excuse me. Chapter 6, fifth miracle. Verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him to force him to be a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a boat and went over the sea towards Capernaum. Now, in America, we say it's Capernaum. The correct way of pronouncing it really is Capernaum. It is the village of Nam. But since we're in America, it's Capernaum. Can I have an amen, somebody? And it was now dark, and Jesus was not with them. And the sea arose, and there was a great storm, and the wind blew. Verse 19. So when they had rowed about 25 to 30 furlongs, so 25 to 30 furlongs, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near unto the boat, and they were afraid. I can understand. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they went. Now, you may say, what has this got to do, this miracle of walking on water, has to do with how we should trust Christ after we become a Christian? I'm glad you asked, because if you didn't ask that, I couldn't keep preaching. And since you didn't ask it, I asked it so I could keep preaching. Now, the problem we have is this is not a complete story. If you want the whole story, you got to move from the book of John and go to other parts of the Gospels to get the entire story. The only reason you can read between the lines in one set of verses is because you can find it on a line in another set of verses. Now, do you understand what I just said? The only way you can read between the lines in one set of verses is because you can find it on a line in another set of verses. We have too many people reading between lines and they don't even know where it is. It's so between the lines, not between the lines anymore. As a matter of fact, it's so between the lines, you can't find it anywhere in the Bible. I used to be concerned about people preaching the context of the scriptures. Today, I'm excited that if they're preaching, I can find it somewhere in the Bible. Jesus come walking on the water. That's got to be a sight. First of all, can I have an amen from somebody? Amen. I don't know now. Come on. Something isn't right. And I'm not talking about walking on the water. I can understand that one, because he's Jesus. And you know he was strolling. You know he had that Nazarite lean. Oh, Jesus was walking on the water now. That don't bother me. You ever been on the Sea of Galilee at night? You have? I have. Somebody, hear me now. It's dark. It ain't no lights out there. Now you can look all around the Sea of Galilee. It's covered by mountains, comes down, and when it cools down, that's why the wind can blow up so fast, and there's storms that hit the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, real quickly. Whoo, wind blows up, storm, bam. And if you're a fisherman, if you're scared on the sea and you're a fisherman, that's a bad storm right there. Can I have an amen? That's just like having ladies not get upset when you throw different color clothes in the same washing machine on the hot cycle. They just said, don't touch it, don't touch it. We can correct it. I'm forgiven. Now, it's really tough. They say they saw Jesus coming, walking on the water in the dark, in a storm, where there's waves flashing, and they're rowing like crazy to try to make it to the other side. Something isn't right. Now, you got to admit, how close was Jesus for them to see? So maybe he got close enough that they saw him reflecting from their light on the boat, which couldn't have been throwing too much light because there's a whole bunch of wind. And I'm just saying, sums up with Jesus glowing. Do you think he's got to be full of the Spirit to be walking on the water with that Nazarite lean jack? You see, it's something about you and I when we're walking with Christ, full of the Spirit. They're just a different light about you. And you should be ashamed. You've been working with people for 10 years and they don't know you're a Christian. Walking in the building as a Christian, I ought to put a different light on the subject. But a lot of us got to admit, right? A lot of us been living a long time working in the same place. People may not even know why you're different. They just may think you're weird. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. It's just my humble and accurate opinion. Now, we need to go over here to Matthew chapter 14. Let's get the real story, the whole story, nothing but story. So help us, Jesus. Can you see it?
Yes, sir.
Say praise the Lord when you get to Matthew 14.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 22. Let's get the whole story. What's the only way you can read between the lines? Verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a boat and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. I mean, you know, in the evening, on Saturday evening, I pick up other commentary because I don't want to be messed up until after I studied it myself. You guys know me well enough. Many of the commentaries was talking about why the disciples left in John chapter 6. And maybe Jesus didn't come before it was dark, so they thought they better get going because they didn't want to be on the water before dark. And I'm going, why don't you go and read Matthew 14? The reason why they left was because Jesus told them to leave. Go down, get in the boat. I got problems with the multitude. They want to make me a king. You need to be gone. I'm going to deal with them, then I'm going to disappear, and I'll come and meet you later. You're going to come and meet us later. You're going to walk all the way around the lake and meet us on the other side. You know how long a walk that is? Jesus said, yeah. We've done it many times. It's not like you and I. Jesus was a power walker. Can you imagine being a disciple trying to keep up with Jesus? Oh! Slow down. You're God. You don't get tired. Well, he did. He got tired. He got tired of them. So Jesus tell him, go down, get in the boat, and I want you to go across. You think Jesus had a lesson to teach him? Do you think Jesus wastes experiences? Do you think Jesus wastes your health? Do you think Jesus wastes your sickness? You weren't too excited about saying that. You think Jesus has an opportunity just to throw something at you because it's kind of nice to do, and since he's God, he can do it? Everything Jesus does and allows to come in your life has a purpose, has a reason. Go get in the boat. Try to get across there without me. You want to walk the Christian life? Go ahead and lead the Christian life and try to walk it without me. It doesn't matter how bad it is. No matter how bad the storm is, I'm going to be there and I will find you. You don't have to find me in the middle of the storm. I will show up. You just be obedient to roll. Okay, I just want to make sure we're flowing together, juniors. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain privately to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I like the way the King James said, the wind was contrary. In my neighborhood, it means it was rough. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. That alone should capture all of our imagination. I just want to know, as we are walking with Christ, is there anything in your life more difficult than walking on the water? I hold my pants up when I get out of the car when it's raining because I don't want the bottom of my pants to get. Jesus, I don't even know if he got wet. Waves come up on him. Woo, that's Jesus. Go around. Here he comes, walking. They look out. I guess that would get your attention, amen. I guess that would get... Is he on a surfboard? Maybe on a piece of pita bread. He's riding one of those pita fish. Don't eat. If you ever go to Israel, go down to see a Galilee and go to the restaurant. Don't eat the pita fish. Fish is just as bad as pita was. Can I have an amen? Everybody on our trip that ate the pita fish that year got sick. Glad I don't like fish. Give me a hamburger. Now in Israel, you can't get a cheeseburger because they don't mix meat and dairy. So you have to be creative. So I bought a hamburger and a cheese pizza. I'm sorry, but we are in the word, right? But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth week, here comes Jesus, walking to them, the fourth watch. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Yes, saying, it is a ghost. Oh, they cried out in fear. Ah! What do you think they said? Ooh. Wow. See that? They're not from the east side. They don't have to keep their composure. Oh, I bet those boys was encouraging one another to scream. Wah! You see that? That's a quit shaking. You're messing up the boat already. Now you got shaking disciples and a wave. They ain't got a good time, folks. See, we don't make the Bible real. So that's why it's so hard for us to believe it. We want the Bible to be stale like you are. Oh, God won't do it that way. He's never done that for me. You know, the people literally in the commentary said, that they have translated that Jesus was walking along the shore and they saw him. Oh, they got some good eyesight. They're going to see about 35 furlongs. That's, you know, and the brothers in Detroit love furlongs. Can I have an amen on it? Some of you get that on the way home. What's that, about 18 inches? Something like that? A furlong? I'm sorry, folks. Come on, get with it. So they're sitting, and they're looking at Jesus from the shore in the dark, walking. Now, he's really glowing, if they can see him that far. Be a lot easier just to believe he's on the water, walking towards them. And they are uptight. Now, folks, they just saw Jesus feed 5,000 people with one lunch. I can't hear you. Do you understand what that is saying? It says once we become a Christian, if Jesus has come through once for you, can you relax the next time you get in trouble? You know how many of us forget the minute Christ come through for us when we see the next day? Is that really walking with Christ? Or is that being crippling Christ? The Christian is a walk. They will run and not get weary, but they're going to walk and not faint. I always thought you would faint quicker running. I thought Isaiah kind of had it backwards. No, the Christian walk is much more difficult than running. Running is church. Walking is Monday through Saturday. Running is sitting in a Bible study. Walking is having everyone point their finger at you and think you're nuts. So which one is more difficult to do, run or to walk? Jesus walking on the water. Do you have any problems more difficult in your life than for God to walk on water for you? Aren't you glad time's running out? Go ahead, say it. Go ahead. You can say it. I heard you earlier. And he said, come. Oh, I love this. Don't be afraid. So Peter, who only opens his mouth to change feet, verse 28, and said unto him, if it be you, now all of a sudden they thought he was a ghost. Now they don't believe it's him. Now, if Jesus had a smart mouth like your pastor, could you imagine the conversation that would come next? If it's you, who else is it going to be? Peter? You got some other friends can walk on water, dude? Seen this before? Can I have an amen? Somebody, come on, somebody be honest with me. If it be you, can I come to you? No. Nope. How about you, Andrew? Oh, Bartholomewski. Come on, baby. Peter, you just stay in the boat. But one thing about Peter, he says, I will walk on the water with you. I give it a try. I know it's impossible. But I see you. And if I see you, I know you can let me do it. Somebody in this church, give me a praise God. My boy at least stepped out of the boat. We can't even get some Christians to get in the boat. Is it really you? Because if it is, I want some of that. See, if God's in it, your pastor wants some of that. If God is fighting it, your pastor wants some of that. If God is standing against it, your pastor wants some of that. I just want to know, do you want some too? Come on, Peter. Peter stepped out the boat, started walking. I wonder how it felt. I wonder how it felt to step on water. Now, I know how it feels to step on a frozen lake. Can you have an amen? Yeah, I can walk on water anytime I want on a frozen lake. But when there's a storm, when there's wind blowing, when there's a sea that's turbulent, take the step forward towards Jesus. That's the lesson as a Christian. He stepped out, he started walking to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. You see, what it means to walk with Jesus is there's going to be waves and troubles and sicknesses all the way around us. But you don't sink until you take your eyes off of Christ and start concentrating on it. Jesus is standing right in front of him. And he starts looking at the wind and the waves. Start looking at the impossibility of why I'm in here. And as soon as he takes his eyes off of Christ, sink. Sink. You know how many people will go to a church because it's comfortable? It's nice. Believe me, I love to have a nice place. I would be the first to love a nice place. But we have commitments here, no debt, for a building. So we're going to sit in some jails and be in a gym as long as we have to. But you're going to get the word. You're going to get no compromise. We are a Bible-believing, fundamental, strong Christian church. And if you don't like it, this is not the place for you. But as soon as you leave, there are others will find it. As long as we hold the word up. He starts sinking. And he cried out, Lord, save me. At least he knew where to call. Can I have an amen? Didn't call Ghostbusters. You see a ghost, you know, you think about, well, you know, Ghostbusters. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, slapped him upside the head. You guys brought your Bibles, didn't you? That's a sad thing when you bring your Bibles, man. I can't make it say what I wanted to say. So we got to get out of here, too. Jesus reached down, grabbed him, pulled him up. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, called him, said unto him, check this out. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? So you can't faith and fear at the same time. It's impossible. You can go back and forth real quick. But you can't faith and fear at the same time. Christians, fear is not one of our characteristics. I don't know why we continue to put it in our repertoire. Where we put it in our portfolio. It's not a part of us. Reach down, say to them, oh, ye a little faith. When you walk with God, you got to have faith, no doubt, to do what he calls you to do. And when they were come unto the boat, the wind ceased. When did the wind cease? After they was back in the boat. Not on the way back. You know how many of us want the wind to cease before the problem's over? That's not the way the Christian life works. I want to ask you a question. How did Peter get back to the boat? He walked. Same storm that made him fall. He walked to get back to the boat. Only difference was where he had his hand. When you cannot see the hand of God working in something, trust his face. Trust his face. As we close, and I know some of you are saying, praise Jesus. Don't you be tempting me on that. Verse 33, and they that were in the boat came and worshipped him and said, thou art truly the Son of God. But that's one of the miracle experience, because a little later on, they all gonna run. They're all gonna run. When you get out of one deliverance of God and another, can I trust you not to run? I'm not gonna ask you to do anything I'm not gonna do. I'm not gonna run. I'm not going to complain. God has come through for me too many times. I can get just as uncomfortable as the rest of you. You don't believe me, just ask. I tell you. But there's nothing bad that can happen to a Christian. Nothing. You see, anything that happens to us, Romans 8 says it makes us like Jesus. So anything that makes us like Jesus, can you really say as a Christian that's bad? Well, that's quit complaining, huh?